Oh, wild west wind, thou breath of autumn's being, thou from whose unseen presence the leaves dead are driven, like ghosts from an enchanter fleeing, yellow and black and pale and hectic red, pestilence-stricken multitudes. Oh, thou who chariotest to their dark wintry bed the winged seeds, where they lie cold and low, each like a corpse within its grave, until thine azure sister of the spring shall blow her carrion o'er the dreaming earth and fill, driving sweet buds like flocks to feed the air with living hues and odors, plain and hill. Wild spirit, which art moving everywhere, destroyer and preserver, hear, oh, hear. Thou, on whose streams, mid the steep sky's commotion, loose clouds like earth's decaying leaves are shed, shook from the tangled boughs of heaven and ocean, angels of rain and lightning, there are spread on the blue surface of thine airy surge, like the bright hair uplifted from the head of some fierce maenad, even from the dim verge of the horizon to the zenith's height. The locks of the approaching storm. Thou dirge of the dying year, to which this closing night will be the dome of a vast sepulchre, vaulted with all thy congregated might of vapors, from whose solid atmosphere black rain and fire and hail will burst all here. Who didst waken from his summer dreams the blue Mediterranean where he lay, lulled by the coil of his crystalline streams beside a pumice isle in Baiae's bay, and saw in sleep all palaces and towers quivering within the waves' intenser day, all overgrown with azure moss and flowers, so sweet the sense faints picturing them. Thou, for whose path the Atlantic's level powers cleave themselves into chasms, while far below the sea blooms and the oozy woods which wear the sap foliage of the ocean, know thy voice, and suddenly grow grey with fear, and tremble, and despoil themselves. Oh, hear. If I were a dead leaf thou mightest bear, if I were a swift cloud to fly with thee, a wave to pant beneath thy power, and share the impulse of thy strength. Only less free than thou, oh, uncontrollable. If even I were as in my boyhood, and could be the comrade of thy wanderings over heaven, as then, when to outstrip thy skyey speed scarce seemed a vision, I would ne'er have striven as thus with thee in prayer, in my sore need. Oh, lift me as a wave, a leaf, a cloud. I fall upon the thorns of life. Bleed. A heavy weight of hours has chained and bowed one too like thee, tameless and swift and proud. Make me thy lyre, even as the forest is. What if my leaves are falling like its own, the tumult of thy mighty harmonies will take from both a deep autumnal tone. Sweet though in sadness, be thou, spirit fierce, my spirit. Be thou me, impetuous one. Drive my dead thoughts over the universe like withered leaves to quicken new birth. And by the incantation of this verse, scatter as from an inextinguishable hearth ashes and sparks, my words among mankind. Be through my lips to unawakened earth the trumpet of a prophecy. Oh, wind, if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness bells a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. Sundays too my father got up early and put his clothes on in the blue-black cold. Then with cracked hands that ache from labor in the weekday weather, made banked fires blaze. No one ever thanked him. I'd wake and hear the cold splintering, breaking. When the rooms were warm, he'd call, and slowly I would rise and dress, fearing the chronic angers of that house, speaking indifferently to him, were driven out the cold and polished my good shoes as well. What did I know? What did I know of love's austere and lonely offices? The keener tempests come, and fuming dun from all the livid east or piercing north, thick clouds ascend, in whose capacious womb a vapory deluge lies, to snow congealed. Heavy they roll their fleecy world along, and the sky saddens with the gathered storm. Through the hushed air the whitening shower descends, at first thin wavering, till at last the flakes fall broad and wide and fast, dimming the day with a continual flow. The cherished fields put on their winter robe of purest white. 'Tis brightness all, save where the new snow melts along the mazy current. Lo, the woods bow their forehead, and ere the languid sun, faint in the west, emits his evening ray, Earth's universal face, deep hid and chill, is one wild, dazzling waste that buries wide the works of man. Drooping the laborer ox stands covered o'er with snow, and then demands the fruit of all his toil. The fowls of heaven, tamed by the cruel season, crowd around the winnowing store and claim the little boon which Providence assigns them. One alone, the redbreast, sacred to the household gods, wisely regardful of the embroiling sky, in joyful fields and thorny thickets, leaves his shivering mates and pays to trusted man his annual visit. Half afraid, he first against the window beats, then brisk alights against the wind on the warm hearth, then hopping o'er the floor, eyes all the smiling family askance, and pecks and starts and wonders where he is, till more familiar grown, the table crumbs attract his slender feet. The foodless wilds pour forth their brown inhabitants. The hare, though timorous of heart and hard beset by death in various forms, dark snares and dogs, and more unpitying men, the garden seeks, urged on by fearless want. the bleating kind, I the bleak heaven, and next the glistening earth, with looks of dumb despair. Then, sad dispersed, dig for the withered herb through heaps of snow. Now, shepherds, to your helpless charge be kind. Baffle the raging year and fill their pens with food at will. Lodge them below the storm and watch them strict. For from the bellowing east in this dire season, oft the whirlwind's wing sweeps up the burden of whole wintry plains in one wide weft, and o'er the hapless flocks hid in the hollow of two neighboring hills, the billowy tempest whelms, till, upward urged, the valley to a shining mountain swells, tipped with a wreath, high curling in the sky. The snows arise, and foul and fierce all winter drives along the darkened air. In his own loose revolving fields the swain disastered stands, sees other hills ascend of unknown joyless brow, and other scenes of horrid prospect shag the trackless plain. Now finds the river nor the forest hid beneath the formless wild, but wanders on from hill to dale, till more and more astray, impatient, flouncing through the drifted heaps, stung with the thoughts of home. The thoughts of home rush on his nerves and call their vigor forth in many a vain attempt. How sinks his soul with black despair? What horror fills his heart when, for the dusky spot which fancy feigned his tufted cottage rising through the snow, he meets the roughness of the middle waste, far from the track and blessed abode of man, while round him night resistless closes fast, and every tempest howling o'er his head renders the savage wilderness more wild. Then throng the busy shapes into his mind of covered pits unfathomably deep, a dire descent beyond the power of frost, of faithless bogs, of precipices huge, smoothed up with snow, and, what is land unknown, what water, of the still unfrozen spring in the loose marsh or solitary lake, where the fresh fountain from the bottom boils. These check his fearful steps, and down he sinks, beneath the shelter of the shapeless drift, thinking o'er all the bitterness of death, mixed with the tender anguish nature shoots through the wrung bosom of the dying man. His wife, his children, and his friends unseen. In vain for him the officious wife prepares the fire fair blazing and the vestment warm. In vain his little children, peeping out into the mingling storm, demand their sire with tears of artless innocence. Alas, nor wife nor children more shall he behold, nor friends, nor sacred home. On every nerve the deadly winter seizes, shuts up sense, and o'er his inmost vitals creeping cold, lays him along the snows a stiffened corpse, stretched out and bleaching in the northern blast. Adieu, farewell, earth's bliss. This world uncertain is. Fond are life's lustful joys. Death proves them all but toys. None from his darts can fly. I am sick, I must die. Rich men, trust not in wealth. Gold cannot buy you health. Physic himself must fade. All things to end are made. The plague full swift goes by. I am sick, I must die. Beauty is but a flower which wrinkles will devour. Brightness falls from the air. Winds have died, young and fair. Dust hath closed Helen's eye. I am sick, I must die. Strength stoops unto the grave. Worms feed on Hector brave. Swords may not fight with fate. Earth still holds ope her gate. Come, come, the bells do cry. I am sick, I must die. Wit with his wantonness tasteth death's bitterness. Hell's executioner hath no ears for to hear. What vain art can reply? I am sick, I must die. Haste, therefore, each degree to welcome destiny. Heaven is our heritage, earth but a player's stage. Mount we unto the sky. I am sick, I must die. Now winter nights enlarge the number of their hours, and clouds their storms discharge upon the airy towers. Let now the chimney blaze and cups o'erflow with wine. Let well-tuned words amaze with harmony divine. Now yellow waxen lights wait on honey love. While youthful revels, marks, and courtly sights, sleep's leaden spells remove. This time doth well dispense with lovers' long discourse. Much speech hath some defense, though beauty no remorse. Or do not all things well? Some measures comely tread, some knotted riddles tell, some poems smoothly read. The summer hath his joys, and winter his delights. Though love and all his pleasures are but toys, they shorten tedious nights. Winter uncovers distances, I find, and so the cold, and so the wintry mind takes leaves away, till there is left behind a wide, cold world. And so the heart grows blind to the earth's green motions lying warm below, field upon field, field upon field of snow. The snow came down last night like moths burned on the moon. It fell till dawn, covered the town with simple cloths. Absolute snow lies rumpled on what shell bursts, scattered and deranged, entangled railings, creviced lawn, as if it did not know they changed. Snow smoothly clasps the roots of homes, fear-gutted, trustless, and estranged. The ration stacks are milky domes. Across the ammunition pile, the snow has climbed in sparkling combs. You think, beyond the town a mile or two, this snowfall fills the eyes of soldiers dead a little while. Persons and persons in disguise, walking the new air white and fine, trade glances quick with shared surprise at children's windows, heaped benign, as always, winter shines the most, and frost makes marvelous designs. The night guard, coming from his post, 10 first snows back in thought, walk slow, and warms him with a boyish boast. He was the first to see the snow. out of the bosom of the air, out of the cloud folds of her garments shaken, over the woodlands brown and bare, over the harvest fields forsaken, silent and soft and slow, descends the snow. Even as our cloudy fancies take suddenly shape in some divine expression, even as the troubled heart doth make in the white countenance confession, the troubled sky reveals the grief it feels. This is the poem of the air, slowly in silent syllables recorded. This is the secret of despair, long in its cloudy bosom hoarded, now whispered and revealed to wood and field. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more. Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly had I sought to borrow from my book surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore. For the rare and radiant maiden who the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, 'tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This it is, and nothing more. Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. Sir, said I, or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore, but the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarcely was sure I heard you. Here I open wide the door, darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming, dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore. This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore, merely this and nothing more. Back into the chamber, all my soul within me burning. Soon again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what thereat is, and the mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind and nothing more. Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the stern and grey decorum of the countenance it wore. Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art sure no craven, ghastly, grim, and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marvel this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such a name as But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further then he uttered, not a feather then he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before, on the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said, nevermore. Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it uttered is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his song was one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore. But the raven, still beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking, nevermore. Thus I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er she shall press, nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfume from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfall tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God hath sent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee, respite, respite, and nepenthe thee from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget the lost Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden, whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden, whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked upstarting, get thee back into the tempest and the night's plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy soul has spoken, leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit the bust above my door, take thy beak from out my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, and his eyes have all the seeming of a demon that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted evermore. Thee for my recitative, thee in the driving storm, ever as now the snow, the winter day declining, thee in thy panoply, thy measured duel throbbing, and the beat convulsive, thy black cylindric body, golden brass and silvery steel, thy ponderous side bars, parallel and connecting rods, gyrating, shuttling at thy sides. Thy metrical, now swelling, pant and roar, now tapering in the distance, thy great protruding headlight fixed in front, thy long, pale, floating vapor pennants tinged with delicate purple, the dense and murky clouds out belching from thy smokestack, thy knitted frame, thy springs and bows, the tremulous twinkle of the wheels, thy train of cars behind, obedient, merrily following, through gale or calm, now swift, now slack, yet steadily careering, type of the modern, emblem of motion and power pulse of the continent. For once, come serve the muse, and merge in verse, even as here I see thee. With storm and buffeting gusts of wind and falling snow, by day thy warning ringing bell to sound its notes, by night thy silent signal lights to swing. Fierce-throated beauty, roll through my chant with all thy lawless music, thy swinging lamps at night, thy madly whistled laughter, echoing, rumbling like an earthquake, rousing all. law of thyself complete, thine own track firmly holding. No sweetness debonair of tearful harp or glib piano thine, thy trills of shrieks by rocks and hills returned, launched o'er the prairies wild, across the lakes, to the free skies unpent, and glad and strong.